Blog Talk Radio.
Whoops, let's do it. Sorry.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Conan O'Brien!
Conor O'Brien, we have a new category for you. Cities that have hosted WrestleMania.
Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman is not a city.
That's wrong.
Goodbye. You gotta go to the back now. 100% wrong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the January 14th edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. No, this is not Nikki Heyman. Nikki is away this week. And for me, I am your host, Jason Block, here to give you all the wrestling news and reviews, because we did have a big, big week this week. A lot of stuff to talk about, so we will get to it in a second. But first, I need to bring in some of my cohorts in crime here. On line number one, we have from Toledo, Ohio, Mr. Josh Hanniger.
Why, thank you, Jason. It's nice to be back here for my first show in 2011. Shame I wasn't on last week, though, because there was a pay-per-view and we didn't do pick-ems. Although it would have been bloody easy to do them.
Okay, on line number two, we have Mr. Robert Q. Seidelman, former host of the North American Wrestling Connection.
Hello, this is Robert Q. Seidelman here with your road report, I guess.
Where are you?
1-800-COLLECT.
Thank you, Ray Marshall.
And on line three, we have the host of the BS Big Show, who is celebrating its 100th episode this week. Congratulations to Mr. Paul Schneer.
Good evening, good evening.
Okay. And by the way, well, we really need to talk about the pay-per-view that we both ignored. Hold on, I want to get one more person in here. Also from the BS Big Show and also part of it here, Mr. Jim Williams. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Block. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you very much.
Hi,
so let's
Jim.
Get right to it, shall we? Usually we don't talk about total nonstop action much on this show because usually the booking stinks. And, yeah, well, the booking stinks. Could someone mute their sound off over there, please? Thank you. So what happens is that they had a pay-per-view this week called Genesis. Now, Genesis really had a lot of news coming out of it. The first one being that the group Immortal took care of most of the belts. Beer Money winning a very good match against the Motor City Machine Guns. Heck, they can both read the phone book. We can all agree on that, and they can have a great match.
Sure.
Right. I believe that Kazarian won the X Division title. And
yes, he did.
And I believe that there was another title change. Now,
the Abyss.
Yes, that Abyss, because AJ Styles, as you saw, had a legitimate injury to his, according to what his Twitter feed said, he tore his hip labrum. Okay, not
yeah.
For anyone who knows
trying,
that.
If I remember, he was trying to chase down his son, who was riding a four-wheeler. He tore his hip labrum there. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with that.
I don't know how much that is true or storyline, but...
That's all true, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. So now, during the match, matches was Rob Van Dam versus a mystery partner of Jeff Hardy's choosing. During the show, Rob kept asking Eric Bischoff, who is it? Who is it? He says, you want Hardy? I'll give you Hardy. Turns out it wasn't Jeff, but Matt. Now, Yeah. Now, did anyone actually see the pay-per-view besides myself?
No.
I saw bits and pieces of it, and you can make great comparisons that Matt Hardy looked like Raven.
Well,
or Tyler Rex's Twitter thought.
That's correct. Twitter actually trended with Tyler Rex. Now.
Oh, Jesus.
That is true. Absolutely 100% true. Now, when Matt Hardy came out, I looked at him and I saw, we could call him. Again, I'm really hearing some sound in the background that I really need to get unclear. Thank you.
I'm going to drop out until I get into a nice comfy car.
Thank you.
I'll be back
in
10 to 15.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So what happens is that we saw Matt Hardy, and he looked pretty much exactly like he did when he left SmackDown. Thoughts, gentlemen? Jim, first you.
What was the question? I'm sorry. I was a little taken astray. I'm sorry.
What did you think of Matt Hardy coming back the same way he left?
Not surprising to me, quite frankly. I mean, Matt Hardy is essentially... I can't figure the guy out. I'm not even going to try to. But, most people figured it was going to be Matt Hardy coming in as the mystery partner. It was kind of a foregone conclusion in many people's minds. I'm not overly surprised. I kind of get a kick out of those in the Twitter universe saying it looked like, not Raven, but who did you say, Josh? I apologize.
Tyler Rex was actually trending on Twitter like mad that night.
Yeah, that seems apt. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Carl, what do you think of the fact that Matt Hardy came back like crap?
Well, he's been looking like crap ever since he got released from the WWE.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't
was released, I should say. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Josh, what do you think?
What I think? He actually came back worse than he did at the last days of WWE. He actually looks like he gained about 10 pounds in the midsection. And as of for the match, from all reports and what I've heard, he did not put an ounce of effort into it.
That is absolutely 100% true. Go ahead.
And that killed the match between him and RVD. Now, this whole YouTube thing that pretty much has been going on for the last 8 months, it's been really distracting him. Hell, dirt sheets have been really distracting him. What he needs to do is just, I don't believe I'm saying this, but cut himself off from the internet and focus on the one thing he needs to, and that is wrestling. He needs to stop the three-ring circus now before his career gets permanently ruined because of his paranoia.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So Matt Hardy makes his, debut. So later on in the show, Matt Morgan and Ken Anderson have a number one contenders match. And Ken Anderson, as expected, wins the match. But what happened was is that the match ended around 10:25 or so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I was on the phone with our host, Nikki Heyman, and I said, they're dropping the belt. They're doing business. Okay? So Eric Bischoff comes out and says, you know what? I'm impressed. I'm not, and Ken Anderson's beat to hell. And he says, you know what? I'm going to have the match now. So Jeff Hardy comes out, and it was pretty funny. He comes out in street clothes.
Yeah.
Smoked a cigarette on air, and this was not a funny cigarette, but he smokes a cigarette.
A Newport.
What did you say?
A Newport, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, smokes a Newport. Then, fake stretches for a little bit and has a match. And with the help of Matt Morgan, Mick Foley, a little bit of Ric Flair interference stopped. RVD comes to help when Matt Hardy gets involved in the match. Ken Anderson wins the belt. and is now the champion. First of all, is anyone surprised with that decision?
No.
I'm not surprised. I'm just surprised at the timing of it.
Yes, because as we covered earlier on this show, I believe you said January 20th is the date?
Yes, January 20th, this coming Thursday, is the court date.
Is the court date where he's expected to plead guilty. Now.
Yep, and get a sentence.
Yeah, now, question. Do you think TNA did the right thing? Does anyone disagree with taking the belt off of Hardy?
I don't.
It shouldn't have been Hardy in the first place.
I agree with.
Now, and of course, we move on to Impact and the tapings. With that, and I believe because of this week's Impact, we see that February 3rd, Ken Anderson and Jeff Hardy are going to get a rematch of this.
Mm-hmm.
Past February 3rd. Now, all 3 weeks are, I believe, well, let's see. Last week was the 13th, 20th, and 27th. So
mm-hmm.
February 3rd will be a live show, or at least a taped show, you know. Or at least it will be taped somewhat closer to the date. Does that mean that Jeff Hardy is going to get a life sentence there, Carl?
Is Jeff Hardy going to get what?
A life sentence, like not go to jail.
I wouldn't call it. Well, it wouldn't be that harsh. Maybe a couple of months.
So you think he's actually going to make the taping?
It's going to be a close call if he can or not. We'll see.
Okay, Josh.
It completely depends on when the taping is, because if they have it this coming week, they can completely do it. If they have it any time beyond, they're going to have to gamble on whether or not Jeff's in jail. I think that TNA is fully expecting now that Jeff won't go to jail, but we don't know what the judge is going to do, saying pretty much a big old F you, and, you know, sending him to jail for 30, 60 days. In all honesty, I hope to dear God he does go to jail so he can, you know, get justice, but I don't know entirely if it's going to happen or not. And that stinks.
Jim, what do you think?
Same kind of boat. I mean, to quote the Iron Sheik of all people, money talk, bullshit walk. So he'll get out of it. He'll get out of things. I don't think he's going to do jail time, which is an injustice in and of itself. So I'm hedging my bet. Yeah, that he's going to be in there. But I'd like to think, and this is in a world where everybody has their head on straight, that TNA might have a contingency plan upon Hardy going to the pokey. Of course, this is, who are we talking about? I don't know that they do.
Yeah, I think TNA knew they had to do business and get the belt off of Jeff Hardy.
Why couldn't they change the belt, by the way?
Yeah, well, they haven't changed the belt yet either, which I'm really not really surprised at yet. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very interesting where they're going. Now, just one more thing about TNA. TNA has another set of they. Now, here's a little bit of a spoilerific. So for those who actually like TNA, just move away for about the next 5 minutes or so. Rumor is that one Scott Steiner made the TV tapings because the rumor is that the main event Mafia is coming back to fight the Immortal with this Little Red and others involved with this. Thoughts, people? You know what? I'll go with Josh. Thoughts? You read about this, right?
I read about it. I'm not terribly enthused about it because, once again, they're pushing the old fogies for the most part with just a very small hint of the young guys, and that makes me unhappy because, to be honest, in my opinion, they still need to start pushing the younger people. They've done that decently in the tag division, but when it comes to that other end, the world title scene, nowhere close. The main event, barely anyone that's a TNA original is even in there. And that stinks. This whole thing, I hope, goes down in flames.
Carl?
Straight up.
I don't know why it's going down in flames yet. No, Jason, honestly, this to me, I don't even call it TNA anymore. I call it the new WCW with all this crap.
And Jim?
Yeah, Josh hit the nail on the head. I mean, yeah, it's like they're going to the well out of desperation. That's what it comes down to. And to Josh's point, before all the established talent from the Hulk Hogan type era showed up in TNA, they really did a good job billing their own stars. You go back 3, 4, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, you might say, they were billing their own stars. What has Samoa Joe been? He's been a mid-carder at best. AJ Styles, who once had the belt, is now kind of relegated. They're trying to make him, if I can liken it, to the Rob Van Dam of ECW to a certain extent with the whole World TV title thing, if I'm not mistaken. They've got a lot of talent, a good young nucleus. I guess they're waiting for them to all get old so they can maybe get them for discount on their AARP cards or something. I don't know. It's sad. It really is.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Now, to actually move on to Monday night, and I can just say this. He is cute. He is sexy. And now he's a Hall of Famer. The big news coming out of Raw was the first announcement in the 2011 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. And in a decision that surprised absolutely no one, Shawn Michaels was the first class member. The thoughts on this was just incredibly well-deserved. But do you want to just give any quick thoughts? We'll start with you, Jim.
Yeah, I'll go.
Just what are your thoughts? And thoughts on the decision to announce him first, specifically.
Well, the reason behind him being announced first, according to whoever you want to believe, is because ticket sales for the actual Hall of Fame induction, they haven't been able to sell out the venues they've held it in the last couple of years. That has been a problem, so they figure you get the showstopper and everybody's going to come and they're going to sell the roof, sell right on top of the roof of the Phillips Arena in Atlanta. I'm going to be a little contrarian to most views. Yes, he's definitely deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. Yes, I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. I would not have done it this year. I would not have given him the Wayne Gretzky pass, if you will. Maybe it's the nostalgia buff in me. I would have wanted it to be an all WCW kind of affair in Atlanta. I think that's the way they should have went. Been almost exclusively world championship wrestling based. So on along those lines. Those people are the people I think who really should be honored in Atlanta, kind of, harken back to the good old days. I think you get a heck of a lot of interest from those in Atlanta, those from the Georgia Championship Wrestling circles who made an impact in the business to where it is today. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be in there. I don't want to say I'm disappointed. I'm not. I'm glad Shawn's in. He deserves it. I just wish they would have waited a year, maybe two.
Carl, do you think this was the right move?
I'm in the same lines as Jim is in terms of holding it off for a year, especially where it is in Atlanta. I mean, this was supposed to be the all-big WCW version of the Hall of Fame.
I'm just to play devil's advocate here, it's only the first one. We could, according to, I believe it was the Wrestling Observer, they said there are 3 or 4 big-name deals still to come.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
but you know, one of them
are going to be the number one guy at this point. That's going to be the obvious billing. He's going to be the star attraction. There's no denying that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Mm-hmm.
What What's that?
He'll be the star attraction in Atlanta.
You think it's going to be Sting?
Interesting. Let's cross that when we get to it.
So, who are you thinking?
No, I'm saying Sean's going to be the star attraction in Atlanta with someone else like a Sting would. Should be, you know, mm-hmm. WCW days.
Okay. Josh, what do you think? Right move, wrong move, too early? Right time?
I'm with Jim to a large extent. I know why they did it because, yeah, they really, really needed a big name to fill out the arena that the Hall of Fame's going to be at. And, yeah, it wasn't the right move. They could have actually held off about 1 year to where, say, it's a little bit closer to San Antonio. Heck, he should have been in last year, mirroring Ric Flair maybe even. Mm-hmm. But this year, it's a little bit tough because of the WCW guys or Georgia Championship guys who I grew up with. Well, they're not going to get their just dues because Shawn Michaels is going to overshadow every last one of them.
Well, I mean, for me, as I said, yes, he deserves a Hall of Fame, but I'm going to just play the little wait-and-see attitude here because I want to see who they've got the deals for, okay? Now, because, as you said, it's in Atlanta. It's going to be the WCW potential for all this stuff. Now, HBK made his first live television appearance in a WWE ring in almost a year. But
yep.
He did not say a word. Why? Because he was interrupted by Alberto Del Rio. And got
mm-hmm.
and Alberto caught a super kick for his trouble.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yes or no, Josh? Shawn Michaels will be wrestling at WrestleMania 2011.
No. No, he will not.
Okay, Jim.
May I use a Vince McMahon line here? It's not just a no. It's an oh hell no.
So you think he's legitimately done?
Why? Because he's a man of his word. More than any person I've seen in this business, he's a committed guy. When he says something, he means it.
Carl, you going to make it a sweep?
Yes, I am. He's done.
Okay. So you think that was just the one way to just get Alberto over as a douchebag and him as the conquering hero, pretty much?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, Alberto's officially on the short list to win the WWE Royal Rumble.
Which we'll get to in about 2 weeks. But right now, next on the list of happening on Monday, Nexus made a pretty big impact, no pun intended, this week. CM Punk really asserted himself as a leader, and WWE had a very, very interesting marketing idea. WWE Shop basically said that the Punk Nexus was going to debut a new shirt and to watch Raw to see it, which is something not usually done because usually they debut shirts like a few days in advance on the site and then they have a date. What do you think about that? Was that a cool idea? Jim?
Not completely against it, not completely for it either, because it almost acted as a quasi-spoiler kind of thing. But I like that they're cross-promoting the website, trying to get a few more sales. I'll give them that. And I do have to say, the new shirt is pretty badass. It is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Carl, do you like the marketing idea?
I got to say, if they're that desperate for money, wow.
Mm-hmm. And Josh, what do you think?
I don't really think they're desperate for money. It's just, the Nexus kind of petered out, so they needed to bring in new life and thusly a new shirt. And since CM Punk is the established and, well, top villain, more or less, on Raw right now, he kind of really needs a new shirt. Thus, the Nexus fit in perfectly.
Speaking of being the top villain, there was the Punk Nexus initiation this week, where David Otunga, I believe Husky Harris, and McGillicuddy took their beatings like a man and are now a Nexus. Gabriel and Slater really weren't happy about beating the hell out of each other or themselves or things like that. And when they were about to take the kendo sticks to each other, they basically walked off, and as we found out later on, hung out with, excuse me, joined up with Wade Barrett, and eventually the turning Ezekiel Jackson to form a sort of a, what we would call Nexus SmackDown. Do you think this is a dilution of the Nexus brand, and what do you think this means for Punk's version of Nexus? Carl? Carl, you there?
Did we just lose him?
No, I see him. He's still here.
Huh.
He's still on the switchboard. I see a hand here. I don't see a hand, actually. Carl, you out there? Just ping me in chat if you got it. All right. Josh, what do you think?
About the whole dilution?
Yes.
It is a bit of a dilution, yes. Mainly because you have exactly one member left of the original Nexus now on Raw.
Which
that
is?
That being David Otunga.
Okay.
Considering how it all started with 8 Season 1 rookies, yeah, it's gotten diluted horribly because of injury and, well, people not being good enough, more or less. That being, of course, Darren Young, who's now relegated to superstars for the rest of his pathetic career.
By the way, speaking of Ezekiel Jackson, you think Skip Sheffield is kicking himself now?
Yes.
For that one?
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I stole that one from Mickey, too, but that one was a good one. Jim, Josh, you had a little trivia for me.
Yes, I did, actually. Considering that you may as well as call these guys, the guys over on SmackDown, the United Nations of Domination. Main reason? You've got all four members born in four different continents. You've got Wade Barrett, born in England. You've got Justin Gabriel, born in South Africa. Keith Slater, born in USA. And Ezekiel Jackson, born in Guyana, South America.
Wow.
That's a pretty cool stat, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I agree.
All we're missing is Africa. Well, no, we're not missing Africa. I am dumb. We're missing Asia, Australia, and Antarctica.
I don't think they're going to have a penguin in this new faction anytime soon, though. So,
yeah.
So, Carl, we're back to you.
Yes.
What do you think of the is this a dilution of the Nexus brand name?
Very interesting question. Maybe they'll call it Nexus for Ducks or something. I don't know.
Nexus for Ducks.
No,
you got to give it a different name.
Well, I'm just asking. I mean, do you think it's? I mean, what do you think of it overall?
The split, they'll eventually feud and have a match at Mania.
That would be fun. So, Jim, do you think it's a dilution?
It is to some degree, but CM Punk is a strong enough leader to make this work on the Raw side. I think Barrett also strong enough leader to make it work on the SmackDown side. And I'm right with Carl. This looks like it's going to be a faction versus faction kind of thing. Don't you wish they did this a few months earlier, though? It would have been more apropos for, say, Survivor Series. Yeah, I know Punk wasn't well enough, but
Yeah, you get the idea. It's a Survivor Series kind of affair, it looks like. An eight-man tag is coming.
Mm. Now, one of the most interesting images...
I'll be back.
One of the most interesting images of Raw this week was CM Punk standing on the top of the Titantron, or the HDtron, and basically saying he was going to make the ultimate sacrifice and quote-unquote plummet to the ground. For those who remember that. But then he said that something kind of struck me a little bit. Maybe I'm looking a little too much into it. But remember he said to the audience, "You people are sheep. I have a safety harness, and I've got two people spotting me." You think that was a little tasteless after the whole Martha Hart, Owen Hart sort of thing? Anybody?
Yeah. A little bit, a little. I mean, I don't think he was intentionally trying to correlate the two, obviously. But, you know, wrestling fans, by and large, have, you know, eidetic memories. They remember everything. And that was a little cheap. I will admit that. I initially did not think so, because I thought it was a heck of a segment. Because Punk
is
bold
in that. I'm not denying the segment. I'm just saying that, you know...
No, but I think you're spot on. I think it was a little much. It was a little much. I mean, yeah, we knew he wasn't going to jump, but still, I'm surprised he went up there after the recent injury, after the injury he sustained a few months ago. God forbid something happened, you could slip, all sorts of things. Yeah, I'm sure they took every precaution, but they allegedly did with Owen, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Who in the what now?
Do you get any Owen Hart images watching Punk up there?
Yeah, I did get a bit of Owen Hart images, mainly because, well, I was just, 12 years old when Owen Hart plummeted to his death. It was kind of like, please, not this again. And yeah, it was a slight towards the whole Martha Hart versus the WWE thing. And also, there is wild rumors running around that Martha's getting close to finally saying, screw it, here's everything, go at it.
Carl, you get anything like that?
I'm surprised Mattel didn't slap him on the wrist for that kind of shit. I'll be honest with you.
And also, the last thing coming out of Monday was John Cena's back. And the WWE is not happy about it. Oh, I'm sorry, they are happy about it, excuse me. He worked a dark match, and they said, the people who reported said he looked pretty good. And he's going to be fighting CM Punk next week. Now, according to his Twitter feed, because he said he was going to kick CM Punk's ass, using the word ass, he said, you know, he was quote-unquote fined for swearing. Yeah, like...
My ass.
Yeah, right. I don't believe that personally. No. Now, here's I thought there was going to be one more thing. I thought that was the last thing, but there's one more little thing. The Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler situation got a little heated this week. I mean, Jerry Lawler shut the laptop off and basically told Cole to shut up. Is this going to lead anywhere, Cole?
Eventually, yes. Maybe an announcer shakeup is coming.
So you think Lawler is going to be fired? He's going to beat Cole and go bye-bye?
Maybe moved over to SmackDown, perhaps. But I'll see Cole and Lawler staying together on Raw for much longer.
Remember when Cole went all on, you know, this egotistical trip about the general manager, you know, and all that stuff? Do you still think he will be revealed as the general manager?
It wouldn't surprise me at this point. They're building him as one of a one of the bigger heels. Slowly but surely.
Josh, same couple questions.
Right. As for the whole. Right. The whole Cole Lawler situation, yeah, it's going to come to a head in a few weeks. Probably be right around the time of Elimination Chamber, where Lawler's finally going to give the Duke right to Cole's face. He's going to get fired, so to speak. And I wouldn't be surprised if those two or Lawler faced Miz at WrestleMania. Not necessarily for the WWE title either.
Jim?
You know, the Cole-Lawler dynamic is interesting. I kind of dig the budding rivalry, if you will. Remember last week on the show I had said that, not Christian, Matthews was going to somehow be on the Raw table permanently by year's end. It may be by month's end or next month's end at this point. What I think is going to happen is the two might end up fighting. And the reason I say that, simply put, is in the dark matches, the main event dark match, Cole has been involved in many of these matches as a special guest referee, or he has been a central figure in these matches alongside the Cenas and the Mizes and what have you. And I believe he is training to take bumps and wrestle a little bit, believe it or not. So I think it's very, very legitimate that come February we might see Cole in the ring on a televised match against Jerry Lawler, potentially in a tag match of some sort. Wouldn't it be fun, Orton versus Lawler against Cole and Miz or something like that?
That, you know what? That would be intriguing. Because if you remember, the last person who did that was Jonathan Coachman, now of ESPN.
Doing
he actually wasn't, and you know what? He wasn't that bad. He wasn't terrible.
Mm-mm.
You know, he could actually do a move or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see. But remember, according to what you know, the stipulation is Cole can't. Lawler can't touch Cole or else he'll be fired.
Well, that provision may very well be lifted for a match or something like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go from Monday Night Raw to NXT, where we had a very, very interesting double date from what we saw. Where I believe it was Daniel Bryan and his rookie dated the Bella Twins. And I believe there was a video of it somewhere. It was quite interesting, no? Anybody? Anybody see that?
No.
I haven't been following much with NXT this season.
Didn't get a chance, but I'm sure it was comedy gold.
Comedy gold. Yeah. I want to touch on something very interesting here. Speaking of NXT, this is something that's actually not on my list, but I'm going to put it anyway. We all know that Tough Enough they just announced that they're also accepting video submissions for when they debut in a few months. Where do you see Tough Enough being? In other words, what do they have to do? I'm going to ask everyone around here. What do they have to do to make the show succeed? In other words, what do they have to do? Carl, starting with you.
What they would have to do with NXT?
No, not NXT. Tough Enough.
Tough Enough?
Make it successful.
Go back to what the original one was. I'm talking about the first season.
Right.
Live in a house, you train together, cohabitate with each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Josh, same thing. Do you agree?
With the whole NXT thing?
Yes.
Or Toughen? Okay. I do agree with Carl. They do need to go back to living in the house, cohabitating with each other, and then working on the, basics or fundamentals or whatever, they need to work on it in order to, you know, get a job or something. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, Jim, do you want to sweep this?
Yes and no. Yes, they need to go back to what they did way back when, but it's almost like a 7-year rule in effect so they can have a little liberty. Take some of the better parts of NXT, you know, having them actually perform in a ring in front of X number of people, and, you know, have them compete against each other record-wise. That's fine, too. But, yeah, go back to the basics. Show us that it's not all, you know, fun and games and immunity challenges and ripoffs of the $100,000 pyramid and Double Dare and so on and so forth. Go back to the basics. You know, people fail to realize running back and forth into the ropes hurts like a motherfucker the first time. You know, taking a bump, going down on your back hurts like hell the first time you do it. People take that kind of stuff for granted. See, when you see that kind of stuff, and at least when I watched Tough Enough the first time around, I gained a new appreciation for what those athletes do in the ring, and I think that's something that gets lost from time to time.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the basics.
Well, do you actually think, though, that Vince will open the curtain again like they did back in the day?
He's been on the fence about that, about a lot of things, about, you know, keeping the curtain unfurled or you know, closing the curtain. I'd like to hope he opens it back up for those who are wrestling fans. Throw wrestling fans a bone for once. And Tough Enough would be the show to do that, like NXT sort of was the first season.
I would love to see that because the Tough Enough the first season was fantastic and was really one of the best. And basically, it's sort of a precursor, if you want to know, to the Ultimate Fighter, if you really want to give it that. Which, by the way, again, is one of the best reality shows, you know,
of
ever.
Any genre. Yeah.
Of any genre, yes. Exactly. And I really hope that they don't screw it up. I really don't. Because, you know, they would really, 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 you know, it would really be disappointing to a lot of wrestling fans because when I was a little younger, I went to a couple of Tough Enough finals, and that was a lot of fun at the World Wrestling here in New York City. Now, speaking of
yes.
New York City.
By the way, the video submissions, do we all have our WWF wrestling buddies from back in the late 80s? Because that might be perfect material for the...
No, excuse me, that will actually... give me the first sound effect of the night right
there.
It only
took 42 minutes.
Failure is not an option.
Well,
yeah, exactly. All right,
thank
except
you.
For you.
I could have said if you had brought baby oil, but I decided not to, so.
No, but I'm just trying to.
Certain lubricating spray.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another one for you. Yeah, that was that.
I'm a broadcast journalist, damn it. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
Whoa! Okay.
There you go. I know it took us 40 minutes because I actually didn't want to ruin it necessarily with all the sound effects here. But speaking of New York City, the weekend of March 19th is going to be very huge for both the WWE and UFC and Ring of Honor. On March 19th, both the WWE and Ring of Honor were supposed to have conflicting cards going on at the same time. That changed because Ring of Honor blinked and moved their card to 4 o'clock in the afternoon so that if people who are wrestling fans and you New York City fans, you know who you are, you can go to see both shows. And I plan to because... the WWE, I already have tickets for the show. And this show, here's a little spoilerific thing because there is some stuff that has been announced on this show that is quite interesting. You mind if I share this with you?
Break it down.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sure. The two main things out there are the returning Evan Bourne versus Tyson Kidd. And by the way, we do miss Evan Bourne You know, his shoulder injury is...
no one can sell a top rope RKO like him. He can.
No, no, that was, yeah. And Sheamus is fighting Triple H in a street fight. Now, Triple H's publicity has been through the roof because he's got the WWE magazine cover coming out next month. So do we see him at the Rumble, you think?
It seems like a perfect storm to say a yes, but I'd like to also believe he's enjoying the behind-the-scenes stuff too much, too. I mean, he's, you know, I think he's producing the guys in the headsets at times.
I believe that's what he's doing, yeah.
He's having too much fun with that, I think, and that's a good thing, because he wants to be, you know, give it off to those who are, you know, the new breed, the new generation, if you will. It's too obvious for me for him to make the return then, because everybody's going to say, oh, he's going to be back, he's going to be back, he's going to be back. So I'm going to hold judgment and say no.
Carl, is he coming back at the Rumble?
Nah, I'd hold off for another month or two at least.
Josh, you sweeping that? You think it's just going to be a special occasion?
It's down to a coin flip right now. It's between him showing up as number 29 or number 30 at the Rumble or showing back up at Elimination Chamber. He will be back in time for WrestleMania, mainly because they need the name recognition so that they can pull in more people. And trust me, Triple H is one of the bigger names, even though some people won't admit it. So will he show up at the Rumble? Maybe.
Speaking of WrestleMania and, of course, The Streak, Undertaker, a.k.a. Mark Calloway, was at the SmackDown tapings this week. As you know, he is rehabbing a shoulder injury. And we have some rumored opponents for him at WrestleMania. Now, what people are saying is that Undertaker is about 70-80% back and won't be 100% for WrestleMania, so they want to give him a non-physical, non-taxing match for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Because they want to keep the streak alive at 19-0, and they want to make sure that he is not busted up any further and not do basically a third classic in a row like the last two Shawn Michaels matches were. The rumored names are, I believe, Ezekiel Jackson, Wade Barrett, and Kane. If you were booking, Carl, if you were booking WrestleMania right now, who would you have The Undertaker fight?
Someone that won't really give him a run for his money like the last 2 years. I honestly put him in a limited match with Barrett and whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Josh?
I do agree with Carl. They're going to probably put him in a smaller match so that, you know, they can keep Streak alive because he's only missed one WrestleMania between now and, his debut and now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I've got nothing much.
Jim, who do you think will be doing the job for The Undertaker come WrestleMania?
It makes a lot of sense to go with Barrett, but it also makes a lot of sense for me to go with Kane because you'll have more appeal to that because of the rivalry they've had over the years, and I think Kane could cower down a little bit to The Undertaker in that regards. I mean, I have a weird feeling, though, not this year, but next year the streak will end. I really believe the streak's going to end at some point. I don't think he gets to 20. I just have a funny feeling he may not get to 20, and that might be the way to say that's a career. I mean, I hope
I'm
wrong.
I totally disagree with you, Jim.
Okay.
I believe this is because I think that the streak is probably the most... It is, I think, the most sacred thing in wrestling today. Seriously,
right.
without question. And I believe that if Vince McMahon did something in, say, 2012 and said, okay, John Cena, you'll beat The Undertaker, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He would basically be the most hated person on the planet and make Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo look like choir boys. No doubt in my mind. I really think that that's going to be...
And that's entire, and that very well could be true, that it would be a bad decision to do, but it would be an interesting decision if they wanted to go that way. I mean, if they did it clean, if it wasn't like a screw job type of thing.
Right. Josh, what do you think?
Oh, you did, what was the question
that, right?
Again?
Yeah. No, I think we went to that. I'm just trying to...
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to go through this. Oh, and by the way, we've got about 9 minutes left in the show.
Yes.
Just want to talk about a couple things. Did you know that Chris Jericho's book called, I believe it's Undisputed, How to Become a World Champion? I believe it's 1,637 Easy Steps, which is. which is a sequel to his excellent, excellent book called A Lion's Tale. If you are a wrestling fan, this is one of the few books you must pick up, by the way. It is one of the few books like this, that, Have a Nice Day, and I believe Hitman and a couple of others that are really like seminal wrestling books.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are starting to come out, and people are saying that this book is even better than the first one. And that's pretty hard to believe. Yeah. So, are you guys going to be first day buyers for this one?
Probably not, sadly, mainly because I'm not much of a purchaser of books.
Ditto.
And plus, I'm broke.
Well,
ditto,
that's
ditto.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry to say that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's really, really... Oh, you know what? I am sorry. There's another piece of news that broke yesterday that I am really surprised at. HDNet lost Ring of Honor. Okay?
Yep,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I am really... This is a very interesting thing. They are going to go through about April. So,
First week of April.
This is another shot to the audience. Where do you think Ring of Honor is going to go, and what do you think the best thing for Ring of Honor would be? I'll start with you, Cole.
It can go anywhere. Maybe a test run on MAV TV. I've heard some rumblings about a possible home for them. For those of you who don't know, MAV TV, of course, is Mark Cuban's network.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Josh, what do you think?
About this whole thing, let's see now, Vader fires. Just trying to figure out, where should they go? To be honest, they are probably going to try to find another channel that can support them. Possibly Versus, but in all honesty, in my opinion anyway, they should probably just stay off TV because they were getting to all of about 500,000 homes at most because not a lot of people want to shell out the money for HDNet because it costs, for instance, around here, an extra $10 a month just to get that and about four or five other channels. That really isn't worth it. So unless they can get themselves or themselves to a station that can be picked up by more people, they should just lay off of it entirely and probably go more of a pay-per-view route like they have and then post up matches from the past and present onto their YouTube channel or something to that extent.
And Jim?
Yeah, Ring of Honor can definitely kind of reinvent the wheel in their online presence, which I know they have over the years. As for a channel, Versus, at first blush, it makes sense. but they want to be taken as a legitimate sports network, so they're not going to go with that, I don't think. But by the same token, I can't think of anybody else that would take them. I mean,
America One, possibly.
Yeah, and then
America
you get
One.
Into the, and then you get into the suspect problem of, okay, who gets America One? I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, what channel, what. Yeah, it would be kind of a worse nail, I think, than being on HDNet. I mean, America One, I think, is a bigger network, but it's essentially the closest we had to syndicated offering in 2011.
Yeah, because they show Wrestlicious.
Yeah, which they luckily stopped showing on the Comcast network here in Philly, and we don't even have HDNet in Philly, so at least not here in South Jersey. Maybe just go the internet route for a little while, and build up the iPay-per-view audience, which has been a good thing. I can't think of a home for them. I cannot truly think of a TV home, and America One might be it. But, again, you don't get that large of an audience. Yeah, larger than HDNet, but still.
I'm going to go into one final piece of news, which is sort of very, very interesting. Okay, yes. I'm going to tell it to you right now. Lesnar is not fighting at WrestleMania. Not going to happen.
Yay.
Okay. Because, number one, he is now one of the new coaches for the next season of Ultimate Fighter, as you all know. Mm-hmm. And, or at least it was announced this week. And Dana White was in New York because they were trying to get MMA here to New York State. And in an interview with AOL Fan House, Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, was reporting that Vince McMahon was stating Brock Lesnar was Undertaker's appointment at WrestleMania this April. Dana White responded, "It's not true. I honestly don't believe Vince is saying that. Dave, I love you. You're a good guy. I don't believe Vince is saying that." And White responded, "Vince and I have had one phone conversation," and he said that, and the interviewer said it was an emphatic no, and White, after hesitating, just nodded and said, "Yes." So, will this put the rumors to rest, yes or no? Quickly, Carl.
Yes.
Josh?
Yes, yes it will.
Okay, and Jim?
It should, but it won't because internet people are dumb.
Like
well
that.
Said.
That much is true.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Soundbite, Jim, thank you.
None of us, though.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
We're the exception to the rule, yes.
Oh, okay, and just a little Royal Rumble, just for fun.
Yes.
Besides the, okay, who is the one person who you think is going to surprise everyone by being there? Quickly, call.
Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, God, okay. Josh?
And a weird random deal, Goldberg.
Oh, wow. Okay. We've got a minute remaining. Jim?
Well, obviously I think Jericho's coming back, but you want an off-the-wall kind of thing? Tatanka.
Yeah, sure, why not? Tatanka, okay.
Nice.
Since we have a minute left and we have a couple seconds just to go, Carl, again, congratulations on the... Was it the CLW 83 network and the BS Big Show and, of course, us being part of the network? Congratulations on 100 episodes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Josh, what do you got to plug?
Capture Suplex Radio coming up tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m., only on WRSCRadio.com.
And Jim, quickly?
GSGarbage.CLW83.com. I have the new Dumb Answer of the Week. Seidelman has the new Induction for the Week.
That will be all for the North American Wrestling Connection for this week. Nikki Haymon will be back in the host chair. We've got about 50 seconds remaining. For myself, Jason Block, as guest host, for Carl Schneer, for Josh Henniger, for Jim Williams, this is Jason Block saying thank you very much, continue to be fans, and good night, everyone. That's it. We'll see you.
Yep.
And
good night.
And we're still on.
Oh, we got another 30 seconds. Anybody want to say anything?
Oh, I'm Henry the Eighth. I am Henry the Eighth. I am.
Hello. Peace.
Peace. to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone.
Okay,
I'm a rich
hold on. Let me end it with
Henry.
That.
Every
thank
day
you.
I wanted to hear.
And now we're off the air.
Earth and the Vandellas.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Later.
Yep. Have a good
Bye.
Night.
Good night, guys. Thank you so much. You really helped me. Really appreciate it.
No problem, JB. Good show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.